Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Timberwolves podcast, 10 p.m. on April 29th. Tim Fakeless.
Yes.
Fresh off covering what they call soccer in America, football around the world.
Yes.
How did the MN United game go?
They lost. They lost. It was a pretty good game, actually. It felt even. They lost 1-0 on a corner kick. I mean, it was a good game.
They lost to the San Diego Quakes.
Yes, or Earthquakes. If you're giving them the whole name.
Are you impressed? But I knew that.
You said San Jose, not San Diego. Right?
I said San Diego, but
San Jose.
Oh, okay.
San Jose.
Close enough.
So no, I'm not impressed.
Cam.
But no, I mean, they played pretty well. It was a pretty even game.
Will you be writing about this game? Sorry to cut you off.
No, I think I've found my niche doing this, and I don't think the recaps is going to be my bit. I think I'm going to be covering them weeks at a time and then writing longer scale
bits.
Kind of like my last one.
That's what I intended.
That I did for Fansided.
I think that's what I'll do with the links, but I'm not sure. Check out what Nick Hallett writes at zonecoverage.com. I'm sure he'll have something up. The CEO Soccer Pod.
Mine's way better.
They'll record tomorrow. Andy Lorai is hilarious.
He is.
He's out.
He's a good man.
I don't know where he is.
I talked to Nick today. I sat near him.
He's somewhere in Asia. Andy is playing professionally.
Somewhere in Asia. That sounds dangerous.
But he's fun. The reason I brought you here, Timmy, today is because A, I needed to do a pod. B, you texted me and you were like, You had opinions about the basketball sports media people, and you called out Tom.
Oh!
You called out Tom and I's pod yesterday as failed. So
yeah, well, we were talking about basketball broadcasters that drive people crazy.
Yeah, and Tom and I couldn't come up with
you
anything.
Guys failed.
We must have been in good mood.
You guys mentioned Reggie Miller, which I thought was good. I think he's kind of the cliche. Oh, he's calling the game. You know, he does all the big games. The one you failed to mention, both of you, John Barry.
John, it is true.
Who, in my opinion, is the worst of the worst.
I will give him some credit. He's okay on the radio.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I listen to more radio than people know, believe it or not.
Just not KFan? Or do you listen to KFan?
I listen to KFan, like, just, but when sports games are on, and
okay,
sometimes
sure,
in the
sure,
mornings,
sure.
But. Yeah, he's okay on radio. Or you can find Hubie Brown often on
Hubie
the radio.
Hubie Brown's great. I think
on
he's
ESPN's
very good.
Coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else you would like to add about the media slander we did yesterday?
No, that was the only thing that really stuck out to me. When you were talking about the best of the best, you mentioned Chris Webber, who I agreed with. I like a lot.
Yeah, and I got nuanced. I don't really like his analysis, but I like his delivery.
Right, right. Sort of like who's a good comparison? Like, Kid Cudi's not a great rapper, but his delivery is cool. That kind of thing?
I dig it. Sure.
I pulled that one from right out of my ass.
I like it, yeah.
Some of my other favorites, Doris Burke is fantastic.
Wonderful.
Brent Barry is fantastic,
of
although
course,
you could argue
best.
His delivery isn't stellar. Not the most pleasing voice, I guess. He has a fine voice. He's just kind of boring.
Do you loop him in with the analytic shtick? Like, oh, yeah, he's great, smart, but as far as on camera, you know, he's always real scruffy. He's not the best dressed.
He's not. He doesn't care. He goes to music festivals, according to his Twitter bio. He's one of those dudes.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Bill Walton's a whole other ballgame in terms of basketball analysts. If you want to be entertained by a college basketball game because you can't get into college basketball otherwise, watch a Pac-12 game on ESPN called by Bill Walton. Those games are fun because that man is loopy.
I got to imagine Bill Walton sounds similar to me doing a high school basketball broadcast, or the one I did anyway.
Only if you had done acid before you started. Probably.
The similarities are that we don't watch, we hardly know the names, and we're there just for the paycheck, baby.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You wrote something on the Wolves today at awolfamongwolves.com.
Yes.
You gave me the brief lowdown on our way in here, as you can certainly tell. I still haven't read it, but it's roster review season up in the blogosphere.
Yeah, yeah. So Zach Harper. Well, I'll take a step back. We had a Wolf Among Wolves. That's me. I'm just gonna name drop them all.
Do it.
Zach Harper, William Bull, Lucas Seehafer, Andy Grimsrud, and Patrick Johnston.
Haven't heard of that one.
It's the lesser known Punch Drunk Wolves.
Got it.
He's
got
very
it.
Good. He's yeah, just. Yeah.
Patrick
less known.
From Pittsburgh.
Yes, he lives in Pittsburgh. He writes pretty frequently now, though, which is great. We split up the entire roster. Some of us took two, some of us took three players to cover. In my case, technically, I took five because my first one was a set of three guys that more or less made one NBA season, that being John Lucas III, Lance Stephenson, and Omri Caspi. I called it the temps.
All right, give me my brief elevator pitch on, or the elevator summary on each, starting with John Lucas III. Go.
My general thing with John Lucas III was you got to give him credit for having as long a career as he did, considering he was an undrafted free agent in 2005, rookie free agent rather. Funny enough, tried to start his career with the Timberwolves, made the preseason roster out of training camp, and 12 years later at 34, still making money, still cashing checks in the NBA, ends up with the Wolves again. Is this his last year? We don't know. If it is, it's kind of a cool full circle story.
He didn't
really play much for the Wolves.
Good locker room dude.
Yeah.
Always the first off the bench.
That kind of guy. Tibbs definitely liked his demeanor.
Great practice player was the big one.
Yes. But I mean, ultimately, there were three point guards on the roster that were always going to play over him. You could argue LaVine was going to play point guard over him. He only played five games and got cut in January.
Did he? He did log minutes, though, in the regular
he had
season.
Five games, 2 points was his season high. Only scored two once.
That's not many.
Lance Stephenson was entertaining. Didn't play very much because he had ankle problems of his own after he started. But his first game, you could say, was fun. I think he hit He was 3 of 7 that game, and I think he was 3 of 4 in the first half, but he provided energy, he provided defense, which is something we hadn't really seen on the Wolves' backcourt throughout the year. But as I said, injuries kind of derailed that opportunity. He hasn't really been able to find a home since leaving Indiana, but funny enough,
he found a home in Indiana.
He ended up back in Indiana in the playoffs. They got beat in the first round. We'll see if he's there next year.
Hopefully he stays in better shape.
That
well-being.
Is key. I think he said after he got cut by New Orleans, he was on his couch.
Yeah.
He didn't,
watching a lot of basketball.
He didn't practice. Omri Caspi.
A guy I liked a lot in theory.
I was
the great Caspi.
The way I phrased it in this was that I was skeptical but excited for the signing. He had a history of being a consistent shooter from deep.
More or less took over Bielitsa's role when Bielitsa
was hurt. Yeah, he kind of had that sort of same mold in that he's kind of a combo forward that can stretch the floor, can handle it a little bit, though I think you could argue Bielitsa is a better passer and ball handler, but that's nuance.
Younger, too.
He had entered Dave Yeager's doghouse and never really got out.
We still don't know why.
Yeah.
That was all.
And then he was traded in that asinine deal that sent Cousins to the Pelicans.
Asinine deal, he calls it.
I wrote that in the article, if I'm not mistaken. Asinine.
Wow.
I like that word. Broke his thumb first game with the Pelicans. So he was kind of a mystery because he was productive for a while before this year. And then he kind of just fell off. But when he got here, he didn't produce at all. I would argue. He had two made threes in his 11 games here, and I think his main objective when here was to stretch the floor and make some threes.
How many minutes?
He did not do that. He played about 20 minutes a game.
Really?
He played every game.
Every game he was here.
He played 11 games in a row. I'm not sure if he sat the first game. I think he played right away, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow. Yeah, that's disappointing. If he's around next year for a 10-day, do you take a flyer again, or have you seen enough?
I've seen enough. Have you?
Okay. I
was very disappointed with him, like to the point where I hope he can bounce back somewhere. He lost me here.
Yeah, if you get in Yeager's doghouse and potentially, you know, we don't know for sure, Thibodeau's doghouse. Yeah, I'm probably out on you.
Yeah.
The great Caspi is magic, is gone.
I agree.
What else is there? Have you been watching the playoffs?
Yeah. I've been watching.
Did you watch any last night, or were you too busy listening to our failed pod?
I was listening to the failed pod whilst writing, and then also watching a little bit of playoffs. Not a ton. I'm looking back at yesterday's games to remind myself which I watched part of one game.
The Jazz finished off the Hawks 115-99.
Oh, I watched the end of
Wizards. Sorry.
Yeah. The Wizards
finished off the Hawks.
And if I didn't watch that one, but from what I understand, John Wall did some stuff that, like, he's really
good.
Taking a leap, at least in the public eye. I feel like he's been this good or considered this good by most. I'll call them NBA scholars, your Zach Lowe's, your Kevin Pelton's, your RIP. Well, not really RIP, but Henry Abbott, True Hoop.
Did he get laid off?
Yeah.
No way.
You didn't hear that? The whole True Hoop dynamic is gone.
I'm sorry, but it had it coming. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, they didn't.
It was only a matter of time.
They didn't stay as consistent with it as I would like, though.
They basically gave up on, we could talk about this too. They basically gave up on the True Hoop Network a couple years ago, right?
Yes, I can tell you that from experience a writer from A Wolf Among Wolves.
We know that for a fact.
Which is a member of the True Hoop Network, though, like, I don't want to get too into it because True Hoop, at one point, be clear, was like, if you wrote for a True Hoop Network blog, that was, like, the pinnacle of basketball blogging.
I know.
Like it was three steps above SB Nation blogging and anything else, in my opinion.
Remember when Hardwood Paroxysm was like the main feature of the True Hoop Network?
Yeah, I do. I remember desperately wanting to write for Hardwood Paroxysm in that era, and I think I got one guest post in there, but they wouldn't take me on full time because that was like an exclusive place that had, you know, your Steve McPherson's, your Holly McKenzie's. I think Amin Elhassan wrote there. Network wrote there for a while. Steve McPherson wrote there.
C-Rat.
Yeah, just like everyone that is relevant.
Still is excellent.
Wrote there. Yeah, C-Rat wrote there. Just everybody that you can imagine. Did Ethan Strauss write there?
He was at the Warriors True Hoop before he ended up going to ESPN's main page.
Who, that might, like, I understand that Henry Abbott's a big deal. Ed Warder's a big deal. I saw John Bucci is getting laid
off.
John
Buchagross?
At the end of his contract.
The hockey guy?
John Buchagross, he's a SportsCenter anchor.
Yeah.
He's been there forever. Those are big deals, but Ethan's young and I would imagine relatively cheap to be a basketball writer.
On a relevant beat.
On a relevant beat. He doesn't demand TV. In fact, I don't think he wants it, according to what I read at The Ringer. That was the weirdest one, because he's, like, as far as beat reporters that I read, and I don't read a ton of non-Wolves beat reporters actively, he's really good.
He is really
good.
He's excellent.
Like cream of the crop.
He does. When I hear him on Zach Lowe's podcast, I do want to call him condescending, but I don't. You have to have that.
When you're a beat reporter like that and you're grinding, like from what I read at The Ringer wrote a really good recap of the layoffs. I'm trying to remember who wrote it, and it's driving me nuts.
I'm sure Richard Deitch will do.
It's the editor at large.
A few solid guests on the SI Media podcast.
Oh, I can imagine. I'm looking up. Oh, Brian Curtis wrote it. Brian Curtis.
Pro Hoops History.
Yeah. No. Different guy.
Different guy. Got it.
That's Harris? I don't know. Either way, Curtis Harris.
Yeah, Curtis.
Good call. Brian Curtis wrote that basically Ethan was kind of just an unhappy dude, and even quoted him saying, I imagine that there are some happy sports beat reporters, but I don't know any. So what may have appeared as condescending may have just been him being kind of cranky.
Being cynical. Yeah.
Cynical, exactly.
You and I are both guilty of that charge.
Sure. Oh, yes. I don't know what we were talking about originally.
No.
We were just kind of, True Hoop.
We were talking about playoffs.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned Henry Abbott, and then it just went all downhill.
I was saying how the Wizards wrapped up their series against the Hawks.
Yep, there it is, John Wall.
The Hawks made a nice comeback in last night's game, ended up turning it over 22 times, and 16 of those 22 turnovers were steals by the Wizards.
Wow.
Says something. Utah and L.A. extended their blood series to
that one I watched.
Game 7.
That one I watched.
What do you have thoughts? What did you see? No Blake Griffin?
No Blake Griffin, but man, Chris Paul was really, really good.
And
like,
it's
really
about
good.
Damn time, and he steps up in this series.
Yeah, he was great. I thought Utah was going to come back and win it, which would have been hilarious because, if I recall, Utah was up for a while, but the Clippers stormed, made a huge, huge run. Chris Paul had some big minutes. I think Paul Pierce even hit a big three. Jamal Crawford played pretty well. Austin Rivers played some really good minutes. But, yeah, Utah just couldn't get it going. If I recall, Hayward and George Hill were the two that really produced, and no one else really did much of anything offensively.
Joe Johnson has been fun still.
Joe Johnson.
He's 8 of 10 in the last 5 minutes of games within 5 points. So clutch situations in this playoff series, he's 8 of 10. Not bad.
Joe Johnson, he's cool. Like, I hated the era when people didn't like Joe Johnson because he got paid.
He's the last person.
Who cares?
I guess he's the last person in the world I expected to take a contract in Utah.
Yeah, that's 7-time All-Star Joe Johnson to all
of
you.
Is it 7? I thought it was
7. 7-time All-Star.
Hey-o. So have you seen his, look up his vehicle. Look up Joe Johnson vehicle.
Oh, God. Joe John, I can't spell today. Okay, I'm looking it up. No, that is not his, what, that's not a car or a truck.
What do you call that thing?
You call that a, oh, man, I wish I had Matt Diaz here to give me a funny metaphor.
Oh, he'd have one for you.
That is disgusting.
Boston defeated Chicago handedly. Wade was like 1 of 10 with 5 entering the fourth quarter.
He was bad in the playoffs.
He was not great.
Just straight up bad.
He was not good. Tomorrow, Sunday, April 30th, game one, Boston, Washington. Boston is at home in that series. That game begins at 1 Eastern. And game seven begins at 3:30 Eastern, 2:30 local time. Utah, Los Angeles. Who you got? Utah, L.A.
I want the Jazz to win. I have this suspicion.
They're in L.A.
I have the suspicion the Clippers are going to win it, though.
I got the Jazz handedly.
Over the
Clippers.
Yeah. That's what I hope. I love my Jazz, but...
Mark it down. Because I think the Jazz would be the best villain series for Golden State.
Would definitely match up.
That would be a fun series.
For sure.
I think we deserve that, if we deserve anything. Yeah, we'll reconvene tomorrow. I think we're going to talk to Mike Brody, hopefully.
Yeah, that's what he mentioned on Tuesday.
Yeah, but...
That was fun, by the way.
That was super fun.
I'd do that again.
I would, too.
I imagine they're going to get real celebrities as the tournament goes on, though.
I would hope so.
Not to
talk us
down, but...
Guys Common doesn't need to read off a piece of paper.
And mispronounce last names.
Yeah, I bet
Tim Fackless.
I bet you're bitter about that.
Whatever, Dan Colley.
I tried to defend us, dude. I tried our best.
You did your best. We didn't have mics to defend ourselves, though.
Not ones that worked, anyway. All right, for Tim Fackless, F-A... Or F-A...
Oh, now you're misspelled.
F-I-M. T-I-M, F-A-K-L-I-S.
Hey.
My name is Zachary Bennett. This has been Locked on Timberwolves. So long.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.